Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. Welcome to our online service. If this is your first time joining us, we invite you to fill in our online connect card so that we can connect with you and you can find out a little bit more about this church. We have a few announcements for you today. In the past 2 weeks, we have shared with you the latest update about our church's plan for reopening, and I'd like to take this time to share with you once more. As you may know, the church's plan to reopen in-person worship gatherings starting next week in October 2nd. And around just a month before that, we sent out a survey to our church members to gather information about, you know, whether we are ready or not to return to in-person worship gathering. And from the results of the survey, we can see that the English-speaking congregation, we don't quite yet feel comfortable to return to in-person worship gathering. And so we're going to postpone our English service in-person worship gathering to the year of 2022. And meanwhile, the Cantonese service will still begin worshiping in person starting next week. And I know some of us, we can't wait. I can't wait. But be patient because we're going to be there soon. A quick side note, we are not going to be celebrating communion in October then. Instead, we're going to celebrate in November. The reason being is because in-person worship gatherings will not be hosting communion in October. And as one church, we don't want to celebrate, you know, at different times. We don't want to celebrate in division with one another. We want to celebrate communion as one, because that's part of what communion symbolizes too, is it reflects the unity of the church. And so we're not going to celebrate communion in the month of October, and we'll celebrate in the month of November instead. And so starting next week, we're going to begin a new sermon series called Christian Atheist. Two seemingly contradicting terms, Christian, a believer, and an atheist, a non-believer. Not something that you and I would normally put together, but really sometimes We are both a Christian and an atheist at the same time. And meaning, we believe in our faith, but sometimes our life, we don't reflect our faith. You know, we say we follow Jesus, but sometimes in our weakness, we don't follow him fully. Or maybe you're a Christian, you believe in Christ maybe just recently, but you feel that something is missing. Somehow you don't feel so different. You don't feel that life to the full. And so this series is going to be for you, it's going to be for me, it's going to be for us, and we're going to see how our lives can be fully aligned to Christ. And in the process, we will receive the abundant life, the full life, fullness of life that Jesus has promised us. And so let me now invite you to stand, and as we enter into worship, I bless you that you may receive from God the love that he has for you and the abundant promise of life that he has for you. Let us worship and let us praise God together.
Shines like This is amazing grace. This is a failing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. You've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for this is amazing grace. This is a take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Set me free. Hallelujah. Yeah.
has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence,
abandon you, to abandon me had
for by, no other than your name. Now in trials and tribulations we stand upon your truth, that your glory and our weakness if we put our trust in you. Now in trials and tribulation we stand upon your truth, at your glory are no weakness if we put our trust in you.
God, we thank you for your amazing love. God, we thank you for your unending love. We thank you for your overwhelming love and your unrelenting love. God, I want to pray for the church. I want to pray for those of us who feel like they have a void, they have a chasm in their heart, who have shadows in their soul, who feel like they are separated, distanced from you. Or maybe they don't even know what they're lacking, but they just know something is missing in here. God, I want to pray that your love will dwell in them, that your love will fill them, that the Holy Spirit will fill them with your love, because that is what we need. Your love, your presence, and your Spirit inside of us. So God, we pray that your Spirit will fill us to overflowing with your love. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, please be seated.
For the past 2 weeks, we have studied the Old and the New Testament on the topic reversal. Through the Old Testament and New Testament, and through the life of Joseph and Zacchaeus, we understand that God is the one who brings changes and transformation to our life. As we are coming to the last episode of this series, let me begin with a question. Do you know what pleases God the most? Do you know what pleases God the most? Let's say there is a God. He created the universe, the planets, and the earth. He created plants, animals, and human beings. He is all-powerful, he is self-sufficient, and he doesn't need anything from us. What do you think that pleases God the most? Well, there are many possible answers. Some people would say that God is delighted when we show our gratitude to him, when we make offering to him. Others believe that God is pleased when we listen to him, when we follow his commandments and do what he tells us to do. Still others claim that God is pleased when we are most like him, when we live a life that is holy just like he is holy, when we love our neighbors the same way he has loved us. The more we behave like him, the more he is pleased with us. I think all of the answers are correct. They're all biblical, right? And we'll be blessed if we follow and do all these things. But when I think about this question, what pleases God the most? There's one passage in the New Testament that speaks to me the most. At this particular Bible passage, which is actually a parable, the word rejoice, joy, and celebrate are used multiple times to describe God. God celebrates and rejoices whenever certain events happen on earth. God watches this event closely. When these events happen, it is like watching your favorite hockey game or your favorite hockey player scoring the winning goal at the Stanley Cup final. Can you imagine that? The whole stadium, all of heaven, jump up and cheers. There will be great celebration all over heaven. So, do you think what pleases God that much? That much. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, Jesus, the Son of God, tells us what gets the Father excited. For many of us who has been to church for a while, the second half of Luke 15, which is usually called the parable of the prodigal son, is one of the most familiar passages we have read. Perhaps you have studied in your Sunday school, in Kapos, in Christian school, or even at Awana. But let me invite you this morning to take a fresh look about this parable. Just try your best to listen to the story as if it is your first time. In Luke 15, Jesus told a story. There was a man who has two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." So the father divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. He squandered his property in reckless living, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the locals, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the paws that the pig ate. But unfortunately, no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? Yes, I should go back to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned before you. I know I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of the highest servants. I'm willing to work. Just work so I won't be dying.' After all this thinking and planning, this younger son arose and came to his father. Whether you are a Christian or not, you have probably heard this story once or maybe many times. The son was in really bad shape. He had made a few reckless decisions, and each decision took him further and further away from home, from peace, from freedom, from wellness. He squandered his money in reckless living, and now he's stuck. And in a rare moment of clarity, he came up with a plan. He decided to go home. He knew what he had done. He had been written off by everyone. But maybe, just maybe, his father would take pity on him and give him a casual, on-call kind of job. At least he won't be starving to death here. As he was walking home, his mind was captured by three things: filth, guilt, unworthiness. Filth, guilt, and unworthiness. I'm not worthy to be called a son. I'm not worthy to be called a daughter. I've thrown it away. I have squandered it. Have you experienced something like this before? Or are you living with this feeling now, even every day? I screwed up. Yes, I know, Pastor Gabriel. You don't know what I have done. I have molested my sister. I have cheated on my wife. I have three women. I have wrecked my family. I have abused my kids. I have even stolen money from the church. I have cursed my parents. I have betrayed my best friend. I have even forced a girl to go through abortion. Pastor Gabriel, if you know half of the things that I have done, I'm sure you will kick me out from here right away." And it is eating you up, isn't it? You can't live a normal life. You can't think straight. You can't sleep. You can't even enjoy a good meal. You can't even live through a day without reliving your crime. you are not worthy. The just penalty of your sin would be to let you survive each day, repaying your debt, until one day you have suffered enough and then you die. You simply do not deserve a good life. So the prodigal son arose and walked home. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. The father ran, embraced him, and kissed him. Let's take a closer look at what happened once again. His father saw him. He felt compassion. And then the father ran and embraced the son and kissed him. And then the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But before he could finish his original script and beg his father to treat him like a hired servant, to his surprise, the father told his servant something very different. "Hey, bring quickly the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoe on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Today, we want to celebrate because he's back. For this is my son was dead. This is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found." And then they began to celebrate. Well, we have looked at the inner world of the younger son already, which was full of filth, guilt, and unworthiness. But as we just look, when we look at the inner world of the father, it was a totally different planet altogether. We just read, the father saw the son from afar. That means that he must have been waiting for him to come almost every day. He felt compassion for him. It is like saying his heart was melting. When the father saw his son, his heart was melting. And then the father ran. For old men at that time, usually they don't do this. But why did he do it? To slap him on the face? To spit on him? To scold at him? No, no, no. He ran to embrace him. He ran to kiss him. This is unheard of. It is just outrageous. But you have to hear what happened next. Instead of hiring this guy to be a servant, the father restore him. He restore him with the rope, the ring, the shoe, which is a symbol of total restoration of his identity, not as a servant, but a son. And the father said, "For this my son was lost and now is found again." The heart of the father is filled with three things: compassion, restoration, and joy. Compassion, restoration, and joy. But you might ask, "Hey, Pastor Gabriel, wait a minute. Are you saying that when one sinner is willing to repent, the God of the universe, his heart is filled with compassion, not hate? Are you saying that God's desire is to restore him instead of punishing him? And his joy is so great that he will host a celebration in heaven? Is it what the God of the universe is like? Is it for real?" Well, let us hold this thought for now, and we'll go back to it later on. Let's go back to the story. Remember, the father has not just one son, but two, right? Let's see what happened next. Luke chapter 15, verse 25. "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came back from work, he drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, which is not usual. And he called one of the servants and asked what has happened. And the servant told him, 'Oh yes, your brother is back, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But there is a but. The older son was angry. he refused to go in and join the celebration. And then his fathers came out and entreated him. But the older son was full of anger. He was furious. And this is how this older son answered his father. Look, all these years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me even a young goat for me to celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, which has devoured your property with prostitute, you killed that fattened calf for him. For heaven's sake, he pressed you to divide your property. Remember, he wished you were dead. We didn't kick him out. He just left by himself. Don't you remember? Now he's broke. He come home. And you throw a party for him. You celebrate his return. What on earth are you thinking? You might as well give him my share of the property. The inner world of the older son is altogether different. It is full of turmoil. It is almost like a nuclear fusion inside of him. Inside of the older son, there is condemnation, there is anger, and there is contempt. First, there's condemnation. The youngest brother is all wrong. He is reckless. No one can dispute that. He does not deserve my father's love. Actually, he deserved to die in the famine. This is what supposed to be his destiny. And second, there's anger. The older brother cannot believe the image before his eyes. His father gave this guy the rope, the ring, and also the shoe and the status of a son. And there was music, there was dancing, there was celebration. That's impossible. Where is justice in all this? Has the old man gone crazy? The older brother was angry and furious. And thirdly, there is contempt. When this son of yours, that's how he phrased that, when this son of yours came, which has devoured your property with prostitute, you killed the fattened calf for him. No way. I am not going in to join this so-called celebration. I have no part in it. He doesn't deserve it. I have no relationship with him. The only thing that the older and the younger son would agree upon is that the prodigal is not worthy to call a son. The prodigal is no longer worthy to call a son. There's condemnation in his voice. There's anger towards his father. There's contempt over his brother. This is the older son. This emotion is raging inside, just like a nuclear fusion is ready to explode. Have you ever had this kind of feeling? Have you ever lived with them, not just one day, but every day? Toward the person who has molested your sister, toward the person who has cheated on you, towards the person who has wrecked your family, towards the person who has abused your kids, towards the person who has abandoned you, towards the person who has run away with the money. You remain angry even after that person has become a Christian. You simply cannot find peace in your soul. So, how can this tension be resolved? How can this tension be resolved? In verse 28, we read something like that. The father came out and entreated the older son. The word entreat means that asking someone earnestly to do something. You could almost say that the father came out and begged him. Son, you are always with me and all that is mine is yours. The father did not waver. He did not change his mind. What he had told the prodigal son, he said again to the older son. He did not build a case to justify how this prodigal son was worthy to be restored. He simply doubled down and said, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It was fitting. It was fitting. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. So what do you think? Would that be enough to resolve the tension between the father and the son? Would that be enough to resolve the tension between the guilt of the unworthy son, the compassion of the loving father, and the condemnation of the angry son? Is it enough to resolve the tension? And would that be enough to resolve the tension in your heart? In your heart. Yes, I'm sure part of us can identify with the guilt and the unworthiness of that prodigal son. We know we are not worthy. Yet, for most of us, many of us, another part of us has identified with the condemnation, the anger, and the contempt of the older son. A nuclear reaction is raging inside. So, did Jesus ever resolve this tension at the end of the story? No. No, he did not. The story has indeed offended many people because of the father's behavior. The father is portrayed as loving and compassionate. But he is, for some people, he is just an idiot. Justice has not been served. The debt is not being paid for. No one will say it out loud, but the father is actually a coward and the head of the family. He's supposed to dispense justice in the household. And now, what did he do? He simply takes the younger son back. No question asked. Is that fair? Pastor Gabriel, are you telling me that God of the universe is like that? Does he only have love? And where is justice, Pastor Gabriel? I don't think I need a God like that. Unfortunately, the story presents no answer. Jesus stopped with the father saying it was fitting to celebrate and be glad. So what else can we do? Originally, Jesus was supposed to use this story to convince the Pharisee and the scribe why he must hang out with the sinners and the tax collectors, because it pleases the Father to see a sinner repent. But do you think that the Pharisee and the scribe would accept, would buy this story? Well, I don't think so. Do you? It is the strangest thing that Jesus, in all his wisdom, would teach an ill-thought-out story and leave his audience hanging. Actually, it was not until the end of Jesus' life, when we have read through the whole Gospel of Luke, that Jesus gave the story a proper closure. While Jesus did not add an extra part, extra episode to this end of the story, but Jesus concluded the story, this parable, by his action. By dying on the cross, Jesus redeemed the life of the prodigal son and every sinner. With his blood shed on the cross, he paid the debts of all the prodigal sons, all the prodigal daughters in the world. With his blood shed on the cross, he paid the debt of all the prodigal sons and the prodigal daughters in the world. With his last breath on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." "It is finished" was actually an accounting term in Jesus' day. It was written on business document to indicate a debt has been paid in full. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he meant that the debt has been paid in full. Then he bowed down his head and commit his spirit to the Lord. Brother and sister, this is how the story of the prodigal son is ended. The cross has resolved the tension of the story. The cross has resolved the tension of the story. To the ones who complain that God is a coward, justice was not served, Jesus answered by his actions rather than by words. He stretched out his arm. He let the nails go through his hand. The Roman soldiers pinned him on the cross. He died a torturous and humiliating death on behalf of all sinners, so that the older brothers of the world, the angry brothers, the contemptuous brothers can rest the cases. By dying on the cross, Jesus had paid the debt of all the prodigal sons and daughters of the world. To the ones who know that they are not worthy to be called sons and daughters, Jesus uttered the word, "It is finished. I have paid your debt in full." To the adulterer who has come clean, he said, "I have paid up for you." To the brother who regret molesting his sister, he said, "I have shed my blood for you." To the abusive father who feels sorry for what he did, he said, "It is over. You can forgive yourself." To the woman who regret giving up a child, Jesus said, "It's on me. Let me take care of it. I have your child." To anyone who is willing to say, "I have sinned, I am sorry, I really want to change," he said, "My blood has covered your sin, and you have been forgiven." Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He has paid the debt in full by dying on the cross for all sinners. This is the reason why he came 2,000 years ago. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. The Heavenly Father is waiting. His thoughts and feelings are compassion, not rage. He desires restoration instead of punishment. His greatest joy, the thing that pleases him most, is the repentance of a sinner. And to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Not slave, not hired servant, but children of God. Before we enter the last quarter of 2021, brother and sister, everything can still be changed. It is not too late. Whether you are in your 20s, your 40s, or even in your 80s, if you are at the end of the rope and you feel that there's no way out, but you want to go home, you long to be accepted, even though you know that you are not worthy to be called a son, even though that you know that you are not worthy to be called a daughter, there is a way. In a moment, I'm going to say a prayer. I invite you to pray with me to receive Jesus into your heart. This is what I'm going to say. It is very simple. Jesus, I have sinned. I am sorry. I want to change. I believe that on the cross, you have died for my sin. By your blood, you have paid my debt in full. And today, I receive you into my heart. Thank you for making me a son, God's son. Thank you for making me a daughter, God's daughter. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, let us quiet down for a few moments right now. And if you are ready, let me invite you to pray with me. Dear Jesus, I have sinned. I'm sorry. I want to change. I believe that on the cross, you have died for my sin. You have paid my debt in full by your blood. So today, I receive you into my heart. Thank you. Thank you for making me a son, God's son. Thank you for making me a daughter, God's daughter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you have said the prayer just now, you have received Jesus into your heart. So let me pronounce to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. And now, let us rise and praise God for His unrelenting love.
God, I don't understand why you would care for me when I ran from you. God, you were there for me, and in retrospect throughout my life, when I abandoned you, to abandon me had never crossed your mind. God, your unrelenting love for me has overcome the grief, and the life I live was paid for by other than your name. I have nothing to repay you for, your overwhelming grace, but the life I live to glorify your name for all my days. God, I don't understand why you would care for me when I ran from you and fell. God, you were there for me, and in retrospect throughout my life, when I abandoned you, to abandon me had never crossed your mind. God, your unrelenting love for me has overcome the grave, and the life I live was paid for by no other than paid for by no other than your name. Now in trials and tribulations we stand upon your truth, and your glory in our weakness if we put our trust in you. Now in trials and tribulations we stand upon your truth, that your glory in our weakness if we put our trust in you. God, you show us your love in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is a gift that we could never repay. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your amazing love. We praise you and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Church, let me now bless you with the word of God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And so we encourage you to continue your worship through offering. You can do so by scanning the QR code below or head to english.mykec.ca. And that concludes our worship service. Bless you, and we'll see you next week.